Now I'm going to tell you a little story. That song goes real well with what I'm going to talk about too. When I was a little kid, I was about 9 years old, I guess, when my grandpa died. And he was a devout Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And I know when we went to visit him in Jacksonville, Oregon, that church was a lot like this one. He helped build the church. Now, I know for a fact, this is fact, that my grandpa rode on the buggy with Ellen White when he was little, and he was called Willie. I know she had a son named Will, but he was called Willie. It's in our diaries. And to me, that was very special in my life. And when my mom found the Lord, she put his kids in church school. But during the time, she was somewhat of an alcoholic. My stepdad, very alcoholic. And there was in and out of church quite a bit. But my mom was very strict when it came to the Sabbath and different things. And I was raised under strictness. And if I didn't do this and didn't do that the way I was supposed to, then I was definitely gonna burn at the end of the world. And I believe that. I believe it with all my heart because it's the truth. But as I grew up, I started running away from home. I wanted to get away from my stepdad. I couldn't really understand why he was so cruel to me. And I loved him. It's really something. I was afraid of him, but I still loved him. And I didn't know until I was 17 years old, when I decided I wanted to go into the service, that he was my stepdad. No one told me. Not my uncles, not my aunts, not my mother. And things started making sense to me. And that was my bringing up as a Christian in my home. When I went to Vietnam, joined the service and went in, I was highly trained. Trained so well that I was going to get revenge on my stepdad. And I came back. And my brother Chuck, you guys met him, picked me up at Travis Air Force Base in California. And we were going over to see Mom and a couple of my brothers, sisters. And all the way over there, Chuck kept saying, "Dan, don't do it. Don't do it." I never said a word. I was really quiet. And when we got to the house, I got out and I walked in. Mom come running out. I gave her a big hug and then went into the house. And my dad looked at me. He said, "Come on, Dad, let's go out back." And we walked out there and he said, "I want you to just give me everything you got. I want you to know, Dan, I am so sorry." I mean, he just fell apart. And I looked at him and I saw an old man. And I really felt sorry for him, but I was so mad because I didn't do what I went there to do. And I disappeared from the family for a long time. And I went to the mountains of Oregon, kind of hid out and did my thing and had a guitar. I could play guitar and sing a lot of songs. I got involved also in country music, rock and roll. And I did things that I knew in my heart were wrong because that wasn't what Mom was teaching me to do. And sooner or later, I started coming around. I had my two firstborn kids, my first and second wife. Jason was from my second wife. And I never got to raise my kids. And it was a good thing because I was half crazy in them days. And I was pretty scary. And time went on. And every once in a while, I'd go to church. And I stopped going to the bars and things because I knew that I really believed that the Lord was going to come and destroy those people that weren't good. And I wanted to change. I wanted to change, so I started going to church. And I had worked on a dairy during season and worked on the shrimp boats. Jason was over there. He did some interpreting at that time for the Spanish people. And when I started writing songs, they were all gospel songs. I quit singing in nightclubs. That was my first step. And I never really picked up the Bible much. I took what I knew and tried to do what was right. And I was walking on a road, you might say. It was really a wide road. And I took some songs. I went on the road. And the Lord blessed me, even though I wasn't quite doing the right thing, because I wasn't taking in preaching or anything like that. I was taking in music, and some of the music that I was taking into churches was welcome, big time, especially in the Pentecostal and Baptist. And I mean, but in our churches, no. And I'll tell you something, what I know now, there's a lot of those songs I just won't sing anymore, because there was a message, but it was, the beat was wrong, some of it syncopated, and, you know, back then I felt good, and I felt that's what the church needed, and I went in because I know there's going to be a revival. I was doing it my way. Not really much prayer. I mean, maybe 2 minutes on my knees and getting up and then feeling good about myself. I spent 2-3 minutes on my knees last night, and this is going to work. And it went on and on and on. We went on the road 10 years steady with this very thing, day after day after day, sometimes 5-6 concerts a week. And that's a lot of concerts. And I even had chances to sing with Mark Finley, Ron Halverson. You know, the things just seemed to fit. The Lord allowed me to do this. When I came and met Jeannie Schmidt and Lynn Schmidt, things started changing. But my attitude, my life, nothing started changing quick. As far as myself, my walk with God, I thought I was walking with God. I never got off of the wide road. I justified certain things. I got mad today, but oh, I know the Lord will forgive me for this. The people pulled out in front of me. And, you know, I look back at things like that. And losing my temper and saying things that you wouldn't say, a Christian would not say, Jesus wouldn't say it. And it happened many, many times, to the point where I started really just thinking that God wasn't helping me at all. I mean, I can't change. I met people in this church, to me, that were saints, and they still are. They really are. And I never met so much love in all my life as really I have found in this church. Why I ended up in New York, and I'm in the coldest place over there, on County Route 7, and I'm going to one of the most humblest churches. And I know Sister White stayed in the hotel right down here. I got to go to see things I've wondered about all my life. Last year, I couldn't take it anymore. I can't stand Florida for very long at all. And I left my wife there because we were taking care of Penny. And I wanted to come home, bring my dogs. I was staying in the garage, hotter than the son of a gun, let me tell you, in Florida when it gets hot. I didn't mind that so bad. It was just, I wanted to go home. And I went home. Actually, Dwayne opened the door for me. I really like that man. He's been there for me a lot. But I went home, And I decided I'm going to find out what is wrong with me. And I started praying. And I opened up a book and I started reading. And I read this book, Sketches of Life Sketches of Paul. It was an incredible book. And I started realizing that the road that I have been on ever since I was a little kid was 5 freeways wide. And when the Lord says, very few find it, I started praying. And my wife and I, we're having quite an experience right now with prayer and study. It's just been, it's like, talk about a hunger and a thirst. It's, we can't get enough. We just can't. It's just, she's having this 40-day of prayer with our daughter-in-law right now. And I watch her. It's so interesting and so fantastic. I'll go into the bedroom with the dogs and let her come, go ahead and do her thing with Crystal. And she'll come in. And it's like her face is lit up and she is on fire. But it's been this way every morning now for quite some time in our studies and what we're reading. Like, there's a, let me give you an illustration. I've always been really afraid of God. Really, I have. I knew that if I can't get myself together, I'm not gonna be there. That's all there is to it. And I found something and it stuck out like a sore thumb, let me tell you. It was in Ezekiel 33, when he said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? You know, when God destroyed the world with the flood, and I just realized this lately, he did it out of love. Just total love. And I always thought him as, man. Sometimes I wondered if I even wanted to go to heaven. I really did. And then I read what Jesus, these words through prayer, started really sticking out at me. Like he says, Dan, come on, listen to what I got to say. When Jesus was on the mount and he was praying, and he looked over Jerusalem and says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How he, the tears were just falling from his eyes. He wanted to save him. He would have saved him so many times. And I looked at me in my life so many times that every time a struggle would come along, I ran to the nearest thing I could to settle me and make me feel right. Veterans put me on medications a few years back. I got addicted to them. It was terrible, terrible. And even some of the stuff I take now, I'm trying to work myself off everything they give me. I don't want it. They say that I can't make it without it. Well, I'm going to prove that I can, because God is going to help me do this, and he has been helping me. I know he has. Everything that I'm looking at now biblically, and I'm thirsting and I'm hungry, and I keep reading that we don't have the Holy Spirit. We can go and give our coat to the poor man. Doesn't mean a thing. We can take food and stuff to the man that over there starving. But if we don't have love, and you know, the Bible means what it says. And I'm thinking, my lands, how can anybody? Now this morning, just to give you a little something, my wife and I, we are fit to be tied. Penny is in her final stages. And she's like a raging, crazy, demonic maniac. And sometimes it's so bad we are shaking. And my wife and I, we found the only way we could get a hold of this is when I walk out in the mornings, We do nothing. We go right over in the chair. We kneel and we pray. And we pray. And we've seen peace come over Penny at times. It's just been totally awesome. No matter what, we have to give her the medication. But there are times that it's not as bad as other times. And the Lord said he won't put more on us than what we can handle. Well, I believe he does do that. He tries us in fire. And what we're doing is trying us. It's working our patience. And we look at Penny now and with such pity. And there were times that we just take her over to Mark. You take this maniac and get her out of here. We, you know, nobody can do this. But it's that's wrong. We can't do that. And we refuse to do it. Even though we both felt that way. And through prayer and praying for the love and the Holy Spirit every single day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, whatever it takes, until we know God is coming across for us. And pretty soon we're singing like stand up for Jesus, different things. I remember when I was a kid singing. We're walking around, and as we're singing, Penny will start doing a little dance or something. It's just been amazing. This road that we're on now, I mean, it's not completely narrow, but it's getting more narrow by the day and by the hour, because this is what we want more than anything. My brother, before he died, he said, Mom found the road, Dan. She found the road. And I didn't quite really understand at that time what he meant. I told my wife, the one thing I do miss so bad is whenever I needed somebody to talk to, I could always call my brother Chuck. He had the answers, and he prayed with me, and he's not here now. So now I go to the Father. And I do believe that when I do, I am before his throne in the name of Jesus. Before his throne. And even though I can't see it, he makes me believe it somehow. He's given me that. What a gift. What a gift to be able to realize this. And the peace that goes along with it, knowing that, man, if he was to come, I just feel it makes you want to even more to see him come and as soon. But we know that there's people that need to be saved. And our church, this church right here, boy, we could get all fired up, let me tell you. We're going to be moving over to the other church. And I know I'm ready for this. I'm not saying I'm perfect by a long shot, but I'm ready to take what I have and go forward and learn more, because there was a couple boys that were going to be here today. They were really going to be here. Something happened that they couldn't be here, and they're the ones that we prayed for last week. Derek, they both came to us the other day and said, can we come to church with you Sabbath? Can we come with you? They've never been in an Adventist church. And they wanted to come so bad. I should have known that something was going to come along, like they were invited to a party. And now they're going to be afraid to face me, because they really, really wanted to come to church. And, you know, I'm not going to hold it against them, but it's not their fault. It's mine, because I didn't pray for them enough. And they're going to come. Oh, I know they will. You have to meet these two to see what I'm talking about. Derek is really on fire. And the one with the head problem, he's whatever his brother is. He loves his brother that much. You know, in 2 Timothy 2, we are to study to get God's approval, to know that we are thirsting for righteousness. I pray, dear God, every day, cover me with your righteousness, Father. Please cover me. And it doesn't happen in my first two prayers or three prayers sometimes. And sometimes I search myself, did I do something wrong? Because when he comes over you and really the peace comes, you don't want to lose that peace. I want it all the time. And I know when the trials come, some of them are pretty rough, but anymore, my wife and I, we look at each other, well, we're going to go through another trial here. It's going to happen again, so let's just prepare for it, and we'll have prayer. And it happens daily, all the time, hour by hour. I don't believe Penny's going to be with us much longer. She's losing weight rapidly. I think she's losing the will to live. It's pretty sad. We've known this lady for 10, 12 years. We've seen this educated college graduate, speaks different languages, go from where she was to where she is now. It's enough to tear the heart right out of your chest. But there's also people in this church that go through so much. And we know. And these people are always in our prayers. Always. We have friends in this church. Everyone I know here is friends. Deep friends. Good friends. And I'm anxious for other people to come and meet people that really love Christ. And I know now, I'm going to find out how narrow this road goes. That's the desire of my heart. I really want to know. My son's here, and my prayer is he wants the Lord in his life, and I know the Lord's in his life. I know when he comes in. I know when he's troubled. I know him. And I've always thought I've been there for my kids, but I wasn't really. But I am now, and it's taken a long time for me, a long time. But the Lord has had a lot of patience with me, and why he never gave up on me, I don't know. Because what I get now when I'm studying and I'm putting forth everything that I have, and then he makes it so easy for me and makes it so understanding for me. What a God we have. That he takes you as your personal friend, your personal baby. And he says, come on, you can do this, look. And the Holy Spirit comes and works with you. And wow. And you can pray to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, to Jesus. It's just, if there's people in here that have not experienced this narrow road, you're missing out. Because, oh, the humility part, to be able to turn around and walk away from a good fight or something. I don't know how you guys are, but me, I don't know how you are, Will, but man, stuff like that was hard for me. And I can do it now. And if somebody hit me or spit on me, I mean, I wouldn't want that to happen. But I believe what I'm studying, and I believe that God won't throw more on us than we can take. And whatever is thrown on us, he must believe that we can take it, or it wouldn't happen. Because I want Jesus in my life. I choose him today. I choose him an hour from now, tomorrow morning, every single day. My life will not go on without him. And I hope all the kids in here realize I lived a life of drugs and alcohol. I mean, there's nothing I can't tell you about it. And the biggest thing I can tell you about it, all it will bring is death and sorrow. Because it'll destroy you. The devil wants to destroy you, and he will. You go tampering around on his grounds, if he thinks he can kill you now because you might go back later. Jesus is coming. He's like a wolf-like Never before now, and he's out to get you. Don't let it happen. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And don't ever be ashamed. No matter what situation you're in, don't ever be ashamed of the name of Jesus, ever. And I believe that's just about all I got to say and had to say. Just one last thing I'd like to read here. Do you desire to follow Christ, yet know not how to begin? Are you in darkness and not know how to find the light? Follow the light you have. Set your heart to obey what you do know of the Word of God. His power, His very life, dwells in His Word. And I'm telling you, it does. This is the most powerful weapon on earth. In a war that we cannot fight with our hands and our bodies and our minds. But these words in here, when we start reading these and we understand them, the devil backs off. And if we open up a path, he'll come right back just as quick as he's backing off. You got to keep your guard up. And if you're like me, you know Jesus is coming soon. And we got to be ready. Praise the Lord. I believe the closing song this morning is, what is it? 5:30? Okay. Yes, it is well with my soul. Oh, yeah, I just love that song. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. And Father, I just thank you for being up here with me. And I really thank you for forgiving my sins. And I thank you for Jesus who made it possible for me to come before you. And I thank you for the Spirit, Lord, in this church. And for a few times, Lord, I really feel like I belong to this church. I just, Lord, what you're doing in my life, I thank you so much. And I pray that everybody in this church has a renewing spirit every day. And to get rid of all the things, the malice, everything that's going to keep us from going to them through those gates. Lord, we don't want to miss that. What a day that's going to be. And I know everybody in this room believes it's soon, very soon. And we thank you, dear God, for numbering us and writing us upon your hands, Lord. We just thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your love and your Spirit. In Jesus, in his name we pray. Amen.